Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Diff Eyewear. Sometimes standing out is about doing things differently than everyone else. Sometimes it's just wearing the right pair of shades, and sometimes it's doing both. And I want to tell you guys about the coolest company taking over the sunglasses industry right now, Diff Eyewear. They sent me a pair of glasses. They are so comfortable. They're the type of glasses that you put them on, sunglasses on, and they just fit perfectly to your face. You look hotter. Because everyone's eyes and whole face, you want to hide your face a little bit.
Look good, feel good, feel good, play good, too.
Deion Sanders.
The glasses you pick up off the table, and you're like, you instantly grab them, and you're like, these things are real.
Feels good. Diff Eyewear offers stylish handmade sunglasses constructed with high-end materials. They're as good or better than designer sunglasses without the $200 or $300 price tag. Instead, Diff sunglasses start at just $50 a pair. You get one in every color you like and will still pay less than some designer brands. It just makes sense. Do good, buy smarter, be Diff. Go to diffeyewear.com/PMT right now to get 15% off your purchase. That's diffeyewear.com/PMT for 15% off diffeyewear.com/PMT. Do it right now. They are awesome. Awesome sunglasses. Today's episode of Part of My Take is also brought to us by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough these days, and if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job in all the top job sites, and now you can. ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in using ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Use that ZipRecruiter, and here's I got something for you here. All right, you ready for this? You can write this down?
I'm writing it.
All right, take a pen out.
Yep.
Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's free. I just gave it to you for free. ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. Let's go. Hey! Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Friday, November 4th. The Cubs are officially Gucci.
They are now Gucci. And I'm worried that this show is going to turn into strictly Cubs talk.
No, I didn't want to talk that much.
You've been a gracious winner so far.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say we appreciate not gloating. In fact, what I've learned after this World Series is that I'm sick of the people who are already sick of the Cubs.
That happened too fast.
You overplayed your hand a little bit. If you had waited like till maybe the parade where, you know, four or five people get run over by the floats because they're too drunk. At that point, then you can say back up Cubs fans. But right now, just let them have their fun.
I know when I can be annoying. I'm an annoying guy sometimes.
Nah, I'm going to throw the flag on that one.
Throw the flag. Wait, we'll get annoying. Cubs fans will get annoying. But right now, let us enjoy this. It was a hell of a night. It was maybe the greatest Game 7 I've ever watched. I mean, I'm not going to say any sport, but definitely in baseball. It was so exciting.
It had a little bit of everything.
It wasn't one of those games that was like, that was the best played game, because I think both managers made pretty big mistakes.
Yeah.
But it was, the drama was out of this world.
Did we ever find out what happened with Javi's bunt there?
Javi's bunt, we didn't know. There's so many little things that I just thought of. Like Jason Hayward had the greatest pump-up speech, $184 million speech
is what
Theo paid for.
A players-only meeting during a rain delay. That's what you give the guy
Hey, guys, just a reminder, it's Game 7. We're going to want to win this one.
I like
it's a can't-lose situation.
You know what? Or is it a must-win?
We're going to want to win this one.
And so they bring him back next year. You got to make Jason Hayward captain.
Yes.
I know. Do the Cubs do captains?
Well, no, the team's got to vote him captain. The team's got to be like, hey, guys, let's put the C up there.
Yeah, so I think Jason Hayward gets the C easily. I'm really looking forward to a couple things. Well, number I want to jump back real quick because we did a Facebook Live here, and basically we saw Big Cat die and come back to life.
Yes.
We saw Jesus' life occur over the span of about 4 hours on Facebook Live. You died in the 8th. You came back. You rose again in the 10th. And I looked at the stats. At one point, we had 42,000 people
watching me
you.
Die.
It was so you could fit an entire baseball stadium's worth of people into what happened. Just like tuning in,
sitting
watching you watch the game and watching you die.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they say it would be a great thing to be at your funeral and like hear what people were saying.
Yeah.
We were at your funeral last night and people were saying, Big Cat sucks.
Yeah, he's so fat.
Fuck Big Cat.
What happened to his shirt?
Somebody flicked Big Cat's tits.
Yeah, what happened to his shirt? It looks like you can't see the bottom of it because his belly ate it.
Yeah, so that's what people are going to be saying at your funeral. So congrats. Also, quick update to Hank. Hank, if you're listening.
Hank's not here, by the way. Milmore's here. Hank's better half.
Yep. So just want to give a shout out to Hank and say that lacrosse, your favorite sport, Hank, has officially been surpassed by watching me, Big Cat, and Dave sit and watch baseball as the next most popular sport in America. So we sold out a baseball stadium before lacrosse
did. Well, we actually might give esports a run for its money, too.
There you go.
Just watch out now.
Well, we got the vaping down. That's like the first thing you got to do.
Yeah.
Also, just want to say that Schwarber looks really good in pinstripes.
I knew
really
you were
good
this.
In pinstripes.
Hey, by the way,
what's the Yankees countdown clock on him?
How about
2 years, 3 years?
How about everyone? Well, they got to get Bryce Harper first.
Okay.
Yeah. How about people doubting the Schwarber move? The Cubs don't win that the World Series without Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, you can say that to make yourself feel
better
about
the story.
No, it's
absolutely a fact. I think he had 10 hits.
Yeah, he was good.
I just threw that number out there.
He was good.
That's sabermetrics for you. What else? I mean, it was wild. It was crazy. Theo Epstein likes to swear.
Yeah.
A little potty mouth.
I was going back and forth between whether or not I wanted you to win and whether I wanted you to lose.
I could tell.
I ended up taking the side of you because I wanted to see you happy for the first time in your life. And I had this all planned out. If you had lost, I was in touch with some local vets here, and I was going to go to a clinic, and I was going to see how much it would cost to get euthanasia for you. I was going to say, I have a big cat, and I'd like to see how much it would cost to put it down.
Because save that.
You seriously would have been suicidal.
If the Cubs had lost the way they were gearing up to lose, that would have been – that was a – I think I even mumbled – I might just quit sports. Like, I might just find another hobby.
No, you didn't mumble.
It's not
it.
Worth it.
You proclaimed it.
I'm sure everyone can out there listening to that. They've been in that moment before. You're like, why don't I just, you know, like go to the gym or why don't I take a walk outside, get some fresh air? Like, sports are the worst. But then when you give up on sports, they reward you in that way, and it was a sports are the best kind of moment.
Just so you know, it would have cost about $780 to have you put down. So, in case you need that.
That seems pretty cheap. I got a lot of mass. I feel like that's one of those situations where they'll put me down and I'll wake up, like in the coffin.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you die. But then you die.
Maybe we put a little. Maybe you go for the deluxe package.
Maybe we
when
grease the wheels
to,
on that
yeah,
guy a little bit
me.
Later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure you top him off.
Do that. Would you do that for me? If you're gonna kill me with poison, please just make sure I actually die.
Use double poison.
That's fair. what else do we have? And thank you, by the way. Everyone who follows along the Twitter at Pardon My Take, do that, or at Pardon My Take on Instagram. PFT got me a beautiful gift in September. Mm-hmm. It is a Cubs 2016 World Series Championship poster saying, "We Gucci," and it's all the Cubs in my face. And I just want to say, that was the nicest present anyone's given me.
You're welcome. So
it backfired horrifically for you. And it sits right next to Danny Woodhead injured, because what year did Danny Woodhead get injured? Oh, I don't know, every year.
He's only been injured twice.
Okay.
But he's recovering right now, so he's on his way back. So it worked out great for both of us. Danny Woodhead's back at 100%, and the Cubs are World Series champions, so good job.
Can we do a quick cool throne, by the way?
Sure.
Cool throne.
It's your day.
Cool throne Warriors 3-1 jokes.
Yeah.
Draymond Green
I'm with that. Yeah.
Came out with it. That was really... You could say, you know, all Chicagoland and Cubs fans and, like, all these old people who have been rooting for the Cubs forever, they were the winners on Wednesday night. But really, the true winner was Steph Curry. Because any Cleveland person who tries to make fun of the Warriors can get that thrown back in their face.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say it to Cleveland because I have no reason to. So it just basically eliminated the joke solely at the Warriors' expense.
Also, cool thrown Chicago newspapers. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a line outside the Tribune today to pick up newspapers. So looks like the newspaper business is back.
They just need the Cubs to win. Yeah. They need the Cubs to lose for 108 years, then win.
And then win. And so all they have to do is just kind of – they have to hold their own for the next 100 years.
Yeah.
Newspapers, you'll make it. You'll be fine. And then they'll win again. You'll sell like an extra 50,000 newspapers.
There it is. So we're taping the show. We don't usually do this. We're taping the show a little early tonight. We're going to give ourselves one night off because we've been working basically till 2 in the morning every single night.
Yeah, and I want to use this to make a point here. We've talked about this between me and Big Cat. We recognize the last week, I'd say, probably weren't our greatest showings on
the
show.
We're
brutally honest with ourselves.
Playoff baseball has worn me down to like a little nub. I'm mentally not firing on all cylinders, so I'm gonna recapture some energy by going to Chicago this weekend and get blackout drunk all weekend. That's totally gonna do it.
Then you're gonna be good to go on Monday. yeah,
real good to go. And no hangover has ever gotten in the way of a 31-year-old fat person.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm always high energy.
So you're gonna recharge the batteries, and starting right now.
Now
the show's good again.
Great again.
Take great again.
Well, Donald Trump, if he loses, someone's going to have to make something great again. So here we are. So we are doing a little early night. We're not going to stay till 1 in the morning to get game 4 of the NBA. But it is a big game. The Thunder versus the Warriors. Kevin Durant.
No love lost between those two.
No love lost. Versus Russell Westbrook. So let's do a little choose your own adventure.
Okay, so let's pretend that Russ dropped a triple-double and lost.
Wow, what a statement game.
Wow, you know, Russ, he's really shown that it's his team now.
Yeah.
They might not be at the same level as the Warriors, but Russ is able to turn it on when it matters. And you know what? Boy, I would not want to play Oklahoma City in the playoffs if I'm Golden State.
Yeah, chip on their shoulder.
That's right. People forget they were up 3-1 last year against Golden State.
Can't say that anymore.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
So cool seat 3-1 jokes. This might be Russ's year.
It was crazy too when Russ just didn't even dap up KD.
Yeah, I thought that they were
ice cold.
That was a big thing. It was like, are they going to shake before the tip?
And nope.
This kind of you could tell
Hillary
KD.
Trump, yeah.
KD wanted to shake.
Yeah.
And Russ was like,
No.
I think our Russ Westbrook impression is probably the best one that we do on the show.
That's Russ Westbrook.
Okay, so now let's pretend that the Warriors just blew him out.
And they kissed. At center court, lips.
Okay.
Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas.
Wow. Did not see that coming.
2000, what? you not remember when they kissed on the lips?
That was the weirdest part of the game, probably.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But you know what? It's 2016. Let them do their thing.
Yeah. And then Magic Johnson was like, I just kissed a man. He put that on Twitter.
Yeah. Wait, but you know I'm saying that they actually did.
Yeah.
Like that happened.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook did the same thing.
Yeah, they made out. Yeah.
So there's precedent. Who cares?
Wait, I'm confused.
Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas.
Let's cut that out. Let's start it again.
No, this is good. This is good. Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas once before the NBA Finals kissed basically on the lips.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So, and Kevin Durant and Russ Westbrook did that last night. It was wild.
Let's just start this segment over.
I think we're good. I think we're good.
Okay, so.
What did you think about that?
I mean, it's weird that you chose to compare it to something that happened like 30 years ago because, I mean, just seeing Russ Westbrook and Kevin Durant make out at center court, that was the first thing on my mind.
It was a peck.
No, there was tongue.
Okay, there was
KD
tongue.
KD put tongue.
You got me.
Westbrook,
I didn't watch the game.
Westbrook used a little teeth. KD went full tongue.
Oh, he went teeth.
Yeah, he's a scrappy guy.
Wow. I did that thing where they both didn't know where their head was going to go, and they almost hit. They almost bashed noses.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. And
a couple 14-year-olds in the movie theater.
Yeah, and then Golden State won by 40.
Wow.
So, huge night in the NBA.
That was our wrap-up. great wrap-up. Let's do some NFL picks. We have the Las Vegas Super Contest. Shout out to Odd Shark for hooking us up with Las Vegas Super Contest. We're doing okay, right? We're doing okay.
Yeah,
I think
I got 3-2 last week.
I went 3-1.
What?
Kissed my sister with the tie. Yeah.
How's she looking these days?
Oh, okay. Hey, say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mark Wahlberg. Let's do our NFL picks. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I think their offensive line is fixed and going to play well, and I think the Jets are frauds. Not even frauds. They're just bad. The Broncos, defense travels. Huh. Defense travels. Do you know that?
Against
Derek
Carr?
Saying? Yeah, do you know that saying?
I've heard it.
Defense travels. The Seahawks, I think, unfortunately, my Bills Mafia, I don't know about that team. I think they're kind of smoke and mirrors. The Eagles.
You think that this is the week that they put it together again?
Yeah.
Right?
And I like the Panthers. I think the Panthers did the old figure it out. They figured it out. Their defense figured it out.
So they're back to where they were in 2015.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Okay.
All right. Millmore, what do you got?
You're really good at gambling, Big Cat.
Yeah, I'm really good.
You just use catchphrases and then you just go with that.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Tails never fails.
All right, I have some similar picks, actually.
Okay, so, Hank, what do you got?
Okay, so Hank, tell us what you got.
I have the Broncos as well.
Okay.
I think the defense will travel.
Nice. Defense travels.
That's what I've heard.
It's tough, a mountain team going out to the West Coast.
Great minds. Yeah, altitude.
Mm-hmm.
Too low.
Negative altitude.
Actually,
yeah.
That's a good point. People don't make
a lot of pressure.
Too
pressurized.
The air gets real soupy.
Yeah, it gets real soupy.
Sorry about the air. It's really soupy down here.
It feels very heavy.
Okay, next.
I also have the Panthers.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Bills instead of the Seahawks.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that. All
right.
In paradise.
They win those random games like that. I'm going to go with the Lions.
Okay.
And then the Saints.
Oh, you're 3.5 on the road?
3.5 on the road.
Okay.
Interesting.
Chip Kelly off a bye week?
I think
I just like to say off bye weeks. Like, he's off a bye week. Like, you know he'll figure it out.
Yep.
What do you got, Pete?
I've got the Chiefs. I love Candy Reid at home against the Jaguars. It's Halloween week. He's had a huge
candy corns.
He's been all hyped. He's got 3 sacks of nothing but chocolate in his living room that he's going to be sugar high on. So, love Candy Reid. Got the Giants. Got the Ravens at home over the Steelers. Those teams don't like each other.
Oh,
no love lost.
No.
People forget that.
Joe Flacco kind of sucks, by the way.
We've got Chip Kelly off a bye week. The 49ers go marching over the Saints.
Yes.
And then I've got Philly Rivers beating the Titans at home.
What's the line in that?
It's plus 5.
Huh? You mean the Chargers are minus 5?
Chargers are 5-point favorites over the Titans. I don't like the Titans. They're coming off an emotional color rush game against the Jaguars.
True.
A rivalry match. So I think that there was a lot of emotion spent in that game that they're not going to be able to pull out.
True. We weren't able to get Stingray on the phone, but he sent us his calls of the week. So let's do that real quick.
Mike Montgomery with the pitch. And it is hit over towards third base. Chris Bryant picks it up and throws it to first. He got him. He's out. Cubs win. Cubs win. Cubs win. Their first World Series since 1908. Oh, my God. What a heartbreaker for Cleveland. And what an exciting win for the Chicago Cubs. Are you kidding me? Cubs win. And, of course, guys, my history lesson for the week is going to be Paul Revere writing to tell the individuals, "The British are coming! Oh no, the British are coming! Go, go, go! Tell everybody, the British are coming!"
Oh, so we're in the Vegas Super Contest, but if you're not and you wanted to gamble and get on some action this weekend, where could we do it?
You're going to go to MyBookie. I use MyBookie, and I'm here to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this week betting at MyBookie. You know who's going to win the game, right? It's time to put your money where your mouth is. So get some money on the game and score a big win today. You're going to join thousands of online players just like me, just like Millmore, just like Hank, just like Big Cat, and you're going to start betting at MyBookie. Okay, I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. I made some coin on MyBookie last night on the Cubs, had the over on the Cubs total, and I had the Cubs winning outright money line. So I'm basically bathing in money right now. You're wasting your time if you bet anywhere else other than MyBookie. They've got the highest credit card acceptance rates. So you know that's a big thing.
Mm.
They don't give a shit about your credit. Start betting on MyBookie right now. Unlike some other websites you might find, MyBookie offers fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. So join now. And MyBookie is going to match your deposit with 100% bonus. That's insane. They're giving you free money to gamble to make more money. So use promo code PMT, like pardon my take, PMT, to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie today at MyBookie.ag. That's MyBookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. You play, you win, you get paid.
Let's go to Kurt Menefee. Really good interview. He actually came and saw us in studio, which is always makes it a much, much better interview, but really interesting. Got some fun stuff, got some serious stuff, and we got an exit interview. Look out for that on Monday, which was wild.
And it turns out Kurt's an award-winning listener.
Yeah, he is. He was rattling off segments and saying all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So, and he knew all the questions were coming. So here's Kurt. Studio, host of the Fox Football Show. You see him every single Sunday before all the games kick off in your studio or in your house. In his studio, Kurt Menefee. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You also have a new book out that we're going to get to for sure, but I think first we're going to do, you know us, we're football guys.
Yeah, of course.
No, talk a little football.
That's not true. We're football guys, guys.
Yes. Okay, that's true.
Important distinction.
Actually, you know what? Let's start here. You probably consider yourself, you consider yourself a football guy or a football guys guy?
Well, see, I'm probably a football guy.
Okay.
Because I hang out with football guys, and someone has to be just the football guy.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
See, that's deep. You didn't think I was going to come strong like that out of the
honestly,
gate, did
you? You just put my head in a pretzel.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared for this interview right now.
I'm still. I hope you don't talk like that to Terry, because he can't follow that.
I just do it and make him. He just spins around. And he's lost the whole time.
My first question is something everybody wants to know: who doesn't wear pants under the table?
Well, does underwear count?
Yeah,
you mean like, are they totally new?
Strahan,
which ones are in underwear?
Underwear definitely counts.
Because
underwear.
We try to mix it up, you know?
Okay.
We have one pair of underwear that we rotate around the desk that one guy wears. So.
Then you wash it after Terry uses it.
Every other week, yeah.
Okay.
Every now and then.
What? Who's the best storyteller of those guys? Those are some good storytellers.
Bradshaw, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you got to understand, you got to live with the chickens and the goats and all that stuff.
Right.
But he's a great storyteller.
Okay.
Now, half of them aren't true.
Right.
But he's a great storyteller.
Okay. I definitely would have thought Jimmy Johnson, but.
Well, because everything Jimmy says is 100% true, though.
Right.
And Jimmy's got some good old school. I mean, Jimmy was.
Yeah, I mean, Miami,
and,
right.
Yeah, and I mean, and Oklahoma State before then. He was back there when you could get away with stuff as a college football program and, you know, a little hide the money behind the tree and those. Mm-hmm. Not saying he did that.
Right.
I'm just saying he knows stories of people that did those kinds of things.
No, right. Miami was a clean program. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
we actually talked with Jay Glazer a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he told us the UFO story.
Yeah.
And so he also said you were probed. How deeply were you probed?
Are you an alien?
Well,
prove to us you're human is what we're really asking.
Yeah. Okay. Well, am I a human if I got probed or if I did the probing? Which one? I don't know which way it works.
I think you might have gotten probed and now you're an alien.
If you flip the script on the aliens, then you become their boss, so you're kind of an alien. Just tell us about being probed. Tell us about your experience.
When was the last time you cried?
Thank you for changing the subject.
No, that was an alien human question.
The last time I cried was the last time I got probed. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, that was an alien human question.
Hey, speaking of probing, real quick. I mean, yes. Not to interrupt your story here. But
that's a great segue. I don't know where you're going.
You never heard anybody start speaking of probing? So I come to your studios, your fancy digs here. And,
yeah.
You know, and what's the first thing I ask to do? I ask to use the men's room, right?
Uh-oh.
Okay? So I go into the men's room.
Oh, no.
If you're going to have guests coming to your men's room,
uh-huh.
You might want to get rid of the skid marks. Let me just say
Wow. I thought you were going to say the cameras, but okay. Yeah.
The
cameras. Yeah. All right. So here's a little – you know what? This is actually – we could probably find some common ground here. This office has two bathrooms, and there's about 35 dudes.
Okay.
I would imagine NFL Sunday morning – With the guys you're rolling around with, things get a little hairy.
That's why
at times.
I recognize the skid marks right away because I've seen those. You know what it is? We have dressing rooms, and I share a dressing room with Jimmy, and Michael, Terry, and Howie share a dressing room together because they're just two dressing rooms on that floor that's convenient. So always, you know, we're there from 5:30, 6 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time, so a 12-hour day. So you'll go out and you may go to use the men's room or whatever, and usually it's number one.
Right.
But every week, someone goes in and, you know, does the number two, leaves one. But it's always Jay. We always know. Every 100%, it's always Jay. But the question is, which one does he go to? So he alternates it, and he goes. Sometimes it's ours. Sometimes it's and we come out, and everybody's pissed at Jay. And you know right away what they're mad about because he does it every week.
Jay Glazer to me seems like someone who's like a fast shitter too. He doesn't enjoy himself. You know what I mean? He's never sat down and like let his legs fall asleep.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, you know when your legs fall asleep?
You're absolutely. Jay is a guy who's he uses it strictly to mark his territory because he's an alpha male. Yeah, so he's just setting that up.
Big time alpha.
I've always wondered at the Fox NFL Sunday crew, do you guys actually do you watch all the games or do you have Red Zone on? Be honest. That's a red zone. That's
Scott
a red
Hansen.
Zone answer.
You know what? No, we have every single game on. And you know the magic is you eventually learn to watch nine games going on at the same time. Because
really?
We're all the desk that you see us on for the pregame and postgame, we sit right there and they bring this giant monitor wall in. And so we're able to watch every single play of every game. And that's when we're just shooting the crap like regular guys. You know, we have our lunch, we'll eat. And hey, did you see that happen in that game? And we look over there, and so we have our own red zone, like old school red zone.
Right. It's called moving your eyes.
Yeah.
Does Jimmy gamble on the games?
No.
Does anyone?
No. Not on the games.
Not
no.
allowed to?
No, not allowed to.
Oh, what else do you gamble on? you left the door open there.
We gambled on whether or not I'll make it through this show. That's what we gambled on. Yeah, that was the bet.
Okay.
No, it's one of those things. I mean, Jimmy, I think, has been pretty vocal about it. He's a fan of Las Vegas.
Yes.
But for cards.
Okay.
But yeah, nobody on the show. There's no sports gambling going on. Trust me.
Interesting. I don't think I could watch nine NFL games without having action on every single one. Every single.
Not game. At all.
Nine. I'm a big. If I'm watching a game, I want to have some action on it. It's a problem.
Can't you just care
he's
sometimes?
Nah, I mean, no, he's a bad fan. Yeah. You see, this is the difference between guys like me and you and guys like him. Only if there's money involved is he interested. I'm motivated just by the love of the game. Speaking of the love of the game, how personally responsible do you feel for the decline in NFL ratings?
You know what? See, I've been preaching this, and people, there's a lot of people that, I was on the Fox News Channel the other day, and I made this point, and a lot of people that watched the Fox News Channel weren't happy with me and didn't like it. The numbers don't bear that out. The numbers on the big games, Monday night game, Sunday night game, Thursday night game, the national games, they're down dramatically. But those have been crap games this year. The matchups are horrible. You know, I mean, no offense, but
they are.
Tennessee and Jacksonville is not going to do great ratings.
Color rush. It was color rush.
Yeah, that's color rush, though.
But if you look at the ratings on a Sunday afternoon when we're doing games and CBS is doing games, which is when people are watching their hometown teams, Fox's ratings are down 1%. CBS's is down single digits as well. So people aren't turning off those games. And all these people that are going, well, we're boycotting, the numbers don't show that. They're not watching the national games. They're not watching the crap games. And the numbers that show that people are watching just as many not watching as many minutes as they have in the past. So they're watching their hometown teams. They're just not watching the out-of-town games.
Okay. So in other
so
words.
So I will accept responsibility for the 1% loss.
If Fox buys the Thursday night package next year and we have you back in, what do you
Well, then the
say?
Ratings will go up.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
Okay,
that's
why.
Look at what happened with the World Series this year. Monster ratings on Fox.
I don't know if people have caught up. That's a nice journalist trick there you did, Kurt. It said you basically said, I work for Fox, and the ratings are down on CBS, NBC, and ESPN.
Well, he's basically saying, like, all the non-Kurt Menefee football games are way down.
Any network does not have Kurt Menefee on is
correct.
Right
okay,
now.
That's right. Yeah, JB over on CBS, he could take some notes. Do you guys watch film on CBS? Because I'm a big Fox NFL Sunday guy. Mm-hmm. I think your coverage is head and shoulders above CBS's. You've got Cletus, number one.
Yeah.
You've got your own injury music.
The
very understated, somber version. CBS can't match that. And then you've obviously got Kurt Menefee. But do you guys watch CBS's coverage?
Yeah, of course, because we see every game. I mean, so we're watching every single game that goes on, doesn't matter what. And we're also football fans.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we watch it like you guys do, and we're sports fans, period. Right. You know, we watch baseball, basketball, everything.
Including the CBS pregame and halftime show.
Well, we're a little busy at that time.
But do you record it and go back and watch film on your opponent, scout them?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes you got to stay in your own little world. Because you can get wrapped up in you know, if they put their chairs up really high and we see that, it could intimidate us the next week. Take us out of our game. You don't want that in your head.
Okay. Right.
It's very Belichick-y.
That's very fair. Power rank these real quick. The scoreboard around holiday times when they do the Thanksgiving, you know, they do like the little leaves falling in the spread.
Cornucopia is my favorite.
The Christmas with the snowflakes and the presents or New Year's with the lights.
Ooh. All right. I'm going to go with the Thanksgiving cornucopia. That's number one.
There's a lot of color, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of color. Yeah. Okay. You know, it takes you back to your childhood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you grew up in the Midwest. Yep. It hasn't snowed a whole lot yet. It's not too brutal, so there's still hope. So it takes you back there. Then I'm going to go with probably in the order you said. Christmas will be second.
Okay.
Because, you know, holiday time, yeah, gifts, everybody's nice to one
happy,
another, all
yep,
those kind of things. And then I hate New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's
I
is,
hate New Year's.
They call it amateur night.
It is. It
like
is
drinkers
my,
like us,
it's
we,
weird,
you know.
It's my least favorite holiday, New Year's Eve, and my second least favorite holiday is Halloween. I can't say, it's for kids, it's great.
Okay.
Adults who do Halloween drive me nuts. But I met my wife at a Halloween party.
Oh,
so she,
what was she
always
wearing?
Yeah, she was dressed as a naughty nurse.
Oh, ooh, okay. Yeah. What were you dressed as?
I was dressed as Kurt Menefee.
Yeah,
that was the
that's
irony.
That's a power move right there. Yeah,
that's
you
how
hate,
it worked.
You hate okay, Halloween. You just you're like this
yeah,
is me.
Yeah,
I don't need a
this
costume.
Is how, this is how I roll.
Last question about the guys on Sunday. Howie Long is actually a recurring guest on the
I
show.
I know.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how have you had him on multiple times
twice
before I ever got on?
I don't know. It's crazy. No. Does he ever mention us? That was my question.
Yeah. Next question.
Oh, okay. He doesn't? All right. Okay. That was, yeah.
I want to talk real quick about Baldinger over on NFL Network. Just got suspended for 6 months.
He's my boy.
Which is great. Yeah, you used to work with him,
wait,
right?
He got suspended?
He got suspended. I don't know how broadcasters can get paid suspensions for 6 months, but it's amazing. I want to figure out how to do it.
He's not being paid.
Oh, he's not? He's
why?
Just getting,
what happened? What did he do?
They're on break.
He's on break.
He said something?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing, and I know it's going to sound like I'm defending it, but Baldy and I have been friends. We auditioned together at Fox in 1997 and then did NFL Europe together for 10 years and did NFL games together. I think we were together for 6 or 7. So, I mean, I've traveled the world with this man. He's one of my favorite people. But he got caught up in being on local radio. And the conversation started about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys and Buddy Ryan and how they used to have the bounty bowls and all that. And he spun it to, hey, you know who they should put a bounty out on? And then next thing you know, Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're the defensive coordinator, you've got to say take him out of the game. And then it kind of expanded on that. Then he got into how he was not a big fan of Ezekiel. But that's how the conversation started.
Got it.
Well, then it comes out that he said you got to put a bounty out on him and he's an NFL employee. And therefore, you got to fire him. And
so who would you put a bounty on? Who do you want to see injured
outside
out there?
This room right now?
What NFL player do you want to see injured?
Quick PR 101 because he's your friend. He should just remind people that he's handicapped. He's got that nub finger.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it affects your what you
right
say. Your
yeah, it's just like that old SNL person sketch, right, like Mike Myers on account of the eye.
Right. Exactly. Look him up.
Pass this one along to Baldy. I came up with a theory. It's known as, I call it Baldinger's cat. It's okay, not Schrodinger. It's Baldinger's cat. It's when a quarterback is both elite and not elite at the same time.
Okay.
And
who,
so
who would fit in that
Joe
category?
Flacco. Perfect example.
Okay.
Baldinger's cat.
Yeah. He got you already. I saw your face.
It is. That's pretty good.
Give him that one. That one's on the house. Okay. He can use that if he wants.
All right. Let's talk about your book because this is actually, I'm not just bullshitting here because sometimes we have people on like we had Addison Russell and we pitched MedRx and we didn't give a shit about it. This book actually fascinates me. Losing isn't everything. So the premise of the book is you basically went out and talked to some of the people who were on the other side of some of the most famous plays out there and also retold some of the stories because some of the people are not alive anymore. So, like, Elo, when Jordan, you know, scored in his face, you talked to Rodney Harrison. So who, like, that you spoke to is still not fully over the play? Because that's always what interests me is how long it takes these guys or females to get over this like tragic moment that they have in front of the world.
We're going
to
be serious here, huh?
Yeah, let's
okay
do it.
All right.
Let's
well, you know, the thing is, it's interesting in that the first chapter of the book, and this is the reason I started with him, Calvin Schiraldi, who was the pitcher for the Red Sox in 1986. Everybody sees that Buckner play and they go, that's the reason they lost. But if you remember the game or you go back, Schiraldi blew a 1-run lead in the 7th inning and a 2-run lead in the 10th inning, setting everything in motion, so he lost game 6. Mm-hmm. Came in game 7, 3-3 tie, gave up a home run the first batter, Ray Knight. So he loses game 6 and 7. Went into this funk, only pitched in the major leagues 4 more years, retired at the age of 29, and admitted mentally he couldn't handle it, that it affected him, and in his terms, he put up these walls to defend himself, to protect himself, because the media was so bad on him, the fans were so rough on him, starting in 87 the next year. Well, once he retired, those walls never went down. And that he wasn't involved in his kid's life. His wife told him in 2013, so 27 years later, look, we're getting a divorce unless you go to therapy because you're not the same guy I knew. You're not the guy before losing those two games.
Wow, it took 27 years.
27
years.
Well, he's still going through it.
Back there.
Well, because he's in therapy right now, so he's still going through it. So he's not over. So, yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys. Craig Elo wound up going to drug rehab. And he blames it directly on the Jordan shot and not having dealt with that.
Wow.
That he buried it within himself right away.
That's unreal.
You could probably just read the Wikipedia for Cleveland and get whole list of stories.
Well, if it weren't for the Cavaliers this year, I mean, you look at the Indians.
It totally
losing,
changes it.
It just it does, because you go back to the Browns and all the incident. It's the narrative of the city. Not everybody had a depression. Some people were able to, like, okay, you know, give me a couple of drinks and I'm fine with
it. So who was that guy that you
John Vandeveld, the golfer.
Okay.
Blew the British Open. All he had to do was get a 6 on the final hole, you know, force par. And he wound up getting a 7, going to playoff and losing. He's French. He goes, hey, you know what?
I drank some wine.
French are used to losing. Did you talk to anybody?
I knew you were going
to
say that.
You talked to anybody from the French army?
He would be he'd be their representative, their lone representative.
Right. They get over loss as well.
Yeah, but it's been all over the spectrum. You get people like, you know, Mary Decker Slaney, who fell in the 84 Olympics. It took her a while to kind of get over it. Rodney Harrison, who was on the David Tyree catch.
Yeah.
You know, he was a guy that you look back, and he had won 2 Super Bowl rings before that, and that was going to be the culmination of the perfect season, except the Giants scored in the last minute of the game to win it.
Yeah.
And it bothered him, and one would think because he won Super Bowls, it wouldn't be a big deal. He said 2 things. One, because he wasn't able to break up the Tyree play, the helmet catch. And secondly, when they scored the touchdown, the Plexico Burress touchdown reception, he was responsible for the defense. When they called in the blitz and he saw 5'9" Ellis Hobbs lined up against 6'5" Plexico Burress, he should have called off the blitz, and he knew it. The problem was Junior Seau, who had taken him under his wing when he came in as a rookie with San Diego, was on that team, had never won a Super Bowl. Junior was supposed to blitz on the play. He called Rodney says, hey, don't run it. And Junior goes, no, let's run it. He knew that Junior wanted to run it, and he said it was his love and respect for Junior.
Wow.
That he didn't call it off, and the touchdown happened, and that's why he regrets it. He said if it had been anybody else, Teddy Bruschi or anybody else, he said, no, I was in charge of defense.
Incredible.
I would have just said, no, we're not running the defense.
Yeah, it's business, not personal.
Right, exactly, but it became personal, and that's what affected him.
That's
and
amazing.
And he doesn't blame Junior for it, that it's not Junior's fault.
Right.
It's just that he got outside of his own element because he loved Junior so much.
He blames his own emotions for loving another guy too much for doing that, so I'm sure that hasn't affected
too much
him
of a friend.
Future relationships.
That's amazing. Wow. Okay, so the book is littered with stories like this.
Yeah, you know, and for me, it was as much a psychological experiment as anything else, because you find out how it affected them in their lives, and I talk about Schiraldi and his wife and how it affected not just him but his family as well, and you've got people like that, but then you also got people that are able to move forward and put it behind them pretty quickly, and I was interested to find out, well, what's the difference?
Right.
Why are some people able to just, you know, Jean Vandeveld, a week later, he's over it. And other people, 30 years later, they're still dealing with it.
Did you talk to any kickers?
You know what? No, I didn't. The one kicker that I wanted to – well, I take that back. I talked to – not an NFL kicker. I talked to Mike Lantry, who was a kicker with the University of Michigan. He missed a field goal at the end of the season in 1973 that would have, you know, helped them win the national championship against Ohio State. Came back in 74, same situation, same game. Missed again.
Holy
actually missed
shit.
Twice. And so he's had to
college
live
kickers.
With that, especially a college kicker. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah.
But Michigan, Ohio State, number one, number three, all that kind of thing. So he's had to deal with that from a personal standpoint. And that was another interesting experiment, was people that are involved in individual sports, not that kickers are, but they're kind of responsible for their own selves. But you Aaron Krickstein, John Vandeveld, Mary Decker, Dan Jansen, how they look at it is totally different from people involved in team sports.
Yeah.
Because it's just you.
Right.
You're the only one that's out there.
You're not letting people down.
You got Whereas with a team, it's like, well, maybe that guy did something wrong, or you take it the other way in that I let those other guys down.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's great.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is the most serious
every now and then. Yeah.
It's interesting to hear what people go through when they lose, because I'm not a loser, and so I haven't experienced
We've never
that.
Done this. This is all new, uncharted.
Yeah,
we're like on the moon now.
I'm feeling like
we're
an
Mars.
Alien coming to Earth and meeting a whole
planet
full of losers.
Have you ever been
probed
then?
Yeah.
No,
we're the first men on Mars right now talking about losing.
I feel like an explorer.
But I do think there are life lessons in there for everybody to learn, and that's the thing, you know, because realistically, we all have bad days.
Right.
You know, whether it's work, home, or whatever, and you got to find a way to kind of keep going, and this is what the lesson is. How do these people at least attempt to get going if they didn't?
Right.
So you guys are doing the Super Bowl this year, right?
Yes, sir.
What's that going to be like for Fox?
Probably, hopefully, as good as the World Series was this year. We can get like monster ratings.
Do you think the Cubs can win the Super Bowl?
I think this, you know, I've heard
good
that
for ratings.
Any team can win.
For ratings.
They say any team can win, and the Cubs are a team.
Yep.
We need a prediction. We get predictions from everybody, and we hold them to them. We love predictions on the show.
Love them.
So it's going to be the Patriots against who?
I think you're right about the Patriots.
Who are they going to lose to?
Yeah.
Patriots losing to the Giants again?
I'm taking Seattle.
Okay.
I think Seattle gets,
rematch.
Yeah, I think their offensive line eventually gets straightened out, and they go back and have a rematch of the game 2 years
ago.
Pete Carroll's in the book talking about that game, by the way.
Oh, he is?
Another play, yes.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course.
He's not over that. No chance.
Well.
No chance. You're telling me
one of the
Pete
great
Carroll
quotes
told-
from him, he goes, I will never not remember that. No, but
that sounds like a guy.
He spins on himself.
You feel healthy there, Pete.
Yeah.
But
mentally not scarred you have to find a way to move forward so that it doesn't negatively impact you for the rest of your life.
Right.
And that's what he talked about having learned that. Remember 2006 in the national championship game, Texas against USC.
Yep.
They lost that on a heartbreaker, Vince Young at the end of the game. And the lessons that he learned from that and applied it to the Seattle
I thought they
situation.
Lost that because they had to vacate it. Because all the
No. That was a different title.
Yeah, right, okay.
That was the one they won.
Yeah, did you talk to him about that loss?
That one didn't come up. that one didn't quite make the conversation.
Talk to Reggie Bush about losing the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, those didn't come up in conversation.
Wait, so Pete, how long did Pete – what did Pete Carroll say, like, the immediate aftermath, the week or two weeks after?
And he talked about – one of the first things that he did was – I mean, you're on the road for the Super Bowl. So that Sunday night they lose the game. They fly back to Seattle on Monday, and he has a meeting with the team. And he said he went down through the sequence of that final drive, play by play, explaining why the coaching staff made each decision. Because he knew that once everybody left, for the next 5 months, they're going to be with their friends and their family, and they're going to be going, hey, they should have run the ball with Marshawn, or why didn't this guy make that play? So he wanted that to be their first mindset. Secondly, he went on the Today Show that week when most coaches disappear after the Super Bowl.
Right.
He said because, again, he wanted to get that message out there to his players and their families and the people that would be around them that, look, we made the right decision. Sometimes you make the right decision and it doesn't work out your way.
So wait, he's
still thinks he makes the right decision.
Yeah. He's still
– That's
so
healthy, yeah.
Okay. So he hasn't even begun to deal with it.
His argument is they did the same thing earlier in the season that nobody remembers, but it worked out in
against
their favor.
Against the Patriots?
Okay, yeah. So that, yeah.
Well, it wasn't against the Patriots.
All right, so when you update the book, when you go to soft copy, right? Is that how it looks?
Hard copy first paperback, and paperback.
Well, you can tell we're not big book guys.
Soft copy. We're Wikipedia guys. When you go to the paperback, you can update it with Pete Carroll and see if he's finally gotten over the denial phase, because clearly he's not ready to talk about it. If he still thinks he made the right decision.
I can't help but notice you haven't mentioned any hockey players that you spoke with, and that's probably because when they lose big, they do the handshake line afterwards.
Yeah, that,
so
exactly.
That, so it completely eliminates all the bad
effects. Hockey may be about the only sport that we don't have represented in there.
Oh. Yeah.
Because there's not an iconic, great hockey line. This is one of the things I did when I started.
What about Russia?
Oh.
Well, you know what? I take that back. We tried, and we had an interview set up with Tretiak, who was the goalie for the Russian hockey team.
You could have said any name, by the way.
I made that one up. You don't know.
Bobovsky.
So
honest to goodness,
and the guy who co-wrote the book with me, he was based in Russia for a couple of months. His wife works for the State Department. He was in St. Petersburg. So he was scheduled to go to Moscow. Hmm. We had to line up an interpreter. We had to go through the Russian government, all this stuff. And the day before, they said, nope, he's not doing it.
Oh. So what I got from that is you've been working with the Russian government.
That's what I heard. Wife with the State Department?
Yeah. Not my wife, his wife.
Yeah, we got some emails.
Covert
operations. Yeah,
emails.
Emails? Get to here?
Yeah. All right, final three questions. Yes. Here we go. First one, most famous person on your cell phone.
You know, because I know the show, I thought about this in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And the most famous person on my cell phone, you're probably not going to believe, Wiz Khalifa.
Ooh. Oh. Want to give him a call?
Let's give him a call.
Let's give Wiz a call.
It's before 8 p.m. He's not up. I guarantee you.
Okay. So all right. Second to last question. Do you wash your apples?
You know.
This sounds like a big explanation for
a
yes.
You just adjusted yourself in your chair to get going on
because
this.
Because the answer is I don't wash my apples.
Okay. Well, that.
But
I don't understand why
I take
to think
like
about
a napkin or paper towel and rub it.
You do the.
The dry, yeah, it's the dry, yeah. Yeah, right. You breathe on it, and then you rub it. So does that count
ever
as
on your shirt?
You're like
yes,
on the fence.
On the shirt sometimes.
Okay, that's okay.
So, I can
yeah.
do the
not
shirt.
Really washing it.
You're a raw dogger.
What I can't do with going to get the paper towel and then using the paper towel to wash. Use your shirt, and that's fine. Otherwise, you're on the fence. You're neither fish nor fowl, so pick a side.
Well, how are you going to ruin the environment if you don't just keep using paper towels for apples and throwing them away, right?
Yeah. That's actually a good point.
Yeah,
true. All right, last question I'm going to ask. You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Actually, this just popped in my head. Will you start doing like a little sign to me and PFT on Sunday mornings? Like Jason Kidd, remember he used to touch his like cheek before free throws for his kid? Can you start doing that for us?
You know, whenever I say Fox NFL Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little nuts.
That's for me.
Call out, okay, shout out to you, brother.
Hey, but how about you say a Yabo?
Oh, that's
Joe
easy.
Buck wouldn't.
That's easy. Oh,
yeah,
I'll
maybe maybe give us a Yabo for a touchdown call. Let's get it. Baseball season
or,
over.
Or no problem. When like a gritty, deceptively fast, real hard-working player mm-hmm. scores a touchdown, you can say, we are all gritnesses.
Yeah,
that's my thing.
Do you ever think about
is that gritty, hard-working player ever a brother? Because you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be. Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, T-Mobile. T-Mobile. T-Mobile.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. There we go.
Because it's almost kind of like that crafty left-hander thing. It's all, you know.
I don't know.
Deceptively
not,
fast.
I don't know yeah. where you're
more probable than not that we're generally aware that it's mostly white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whenever a guy's he's faster than you think or
yeah, right.
than he looks.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Right, exactly.
You're like, okay, yeah,
yeah
I know.
You go over the middle. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Wait, I had one. Oh, do you ever think about putting in a little boomer? A little whoop.
No.
Whoop.
No.
Can we get you to
no.
whoop? Whoop.
That one's gone. That ship has been out to sail for
oh,
quite a while.
Oh, can we get you to introduce our fastest 2 minutes? So
oh, yeah.
every Monday, you listen to the show, so you probably know we do the recap. Mm-hmm. Can you give us like an intro? Like, here's part of my takes, fastest 2 minutes.
I'm Kurt Menefee, and here are the fastest 2 minutes, right? Or what should we say? NFL's fastest 2 minutes.
The fastest 2 minutes in football.
Yeah,
yes.
Football.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm Kurt Menefee, and here's Pardon My Takes, fastest 2 minutes in football.
Love it.
That was awesome.
Okay, we're going to use that.
Kurt Menefee, thank you so much. Hopefully we see you at the Super Bowl.
I'll be
get
there.
Back together.
You
we will be there as well.
Yep. We're going to be there all
we'll
week.
We'll get it all together. You can take us out to a steak dinner with the boys, talk about skid marks.
Let you pay for it. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Let Harry answer his phone, all that stuff.
We'll play credit card roulette.
Yep. Everybody listen out there, there's also going to be an exit interview with Kurt. We're about to go do that right now. So that should be up on the website soon. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be – you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
Are you sure you're ready for this?
Fox NFL Sunday, that's my shout-out to you.
Yes.
So I'm giving you a special shout-out. So on this exit interview.
Yes, yeah, and losing isn't everything. I am actually – I've promised – who else did I promise I was going to read a book? Joe Buck. I'm not reading Joe Buck's book. I'm
mine's
telling you that right
anyway.
Now.
This one's
yeah, I'm
place.
Reading
yeah.
Joe Buck's book. I told Joe Buck to his face I was going to read his book. I'm taking that back. Not reading your book, Joe Buck. I'm reading Kurt Menefee's book.
Mine's already out, too.
Yeah.
So you can read it right now.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. All right. Come on. I'll read it when I get around to it, okay?
And next week we'll have Lenny Dykstra, and he just wrote a book, and Big Cat will promise to read his book, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can suck our dicks.
Suck my dick, Lenny.
All right. So that was Kurt Menefee.
Shout out to Kurt for laying up a World War II reference for me.
Yeah.
How about that?
And we just wanted to do Kurt a solid because we weren't able to connect with Lenny. We taped it too early in the day, so... Let's give him a real quick call, see if we can see if we can get
been
in
down
touch
to talk to LD.
Yeah, do it for Kurt.
Nails.
He's on to us. He's so on.
He's self-aware. They can open doors.
He's so on to us. We need a burner phone.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, star 69 or star 68.
We do. And just pick it up.
Yeah.
So, quick inside baseball here. We actually ordered burner phones just so that we could call Lenny Dykstra like once a week and he'd be able to pick up and he wouldn't be able to trace our number back instead of having to block our number every time. And that we were told we were getting the burners and then they came back. They said, guess what? We took that out of the budget. That seemed like
budget.
An excessive fee
ridiculous.
To pay. So this is the environment that we work in here.
So this is us saying to our award-winning listeners, if you want to send us a burner, send it to our address. No questions asked.
Yeah. Would be nice if we had corporate support for, you know, being able to call Lenny Dykstra once every 3 weeks.
Tell him to suck our dicks.
Suck my dick, Lenny.
That
seems like a great investment. I don't understand what the hell the suits are thinking here.
Before we get to some segments, I want to talk to you quickly about DraftKings.com. Week 9 is here, and DraftKings has a huge fantasy football contest. They're the number one spot for 1 week fantasy football. I know you screwed up your season-long commitment to your team. You probably have a bunch of guys injured. You probably weren't paying attention to the waiver wire. So here's the nice thing. DraftKings.com has these weekly fantasy football contests. You can sign up Sunday morning, and it is good to go. You pick your team. No season-long commitments. It is awesome. You can try the 50-50 contests, or you can play your friends. It's a lot of fun, and here's the deal. They got over $1 million in total prizes this weekend, so don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com right now. Use code BIGCAT, B-I-G-C-A-T, and play for free with your first deposit. That's code BIGCAT to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Go to DraftKings.com right now and put in that promo code BigCat, BigCat. What do we got for segments, huh? We're going to get some segments going?
Get some great ones.
Yeah, we got a new one. Let's start with a new one.
Ooh, okay, getting crazy. This one is called King Stay the King.
What does that mean?
So it just means that, like, if you're the king, then you stay the king because you keep doing king things.
Okay.
And this week's King Stay the King goes to Skip Bayless. First of all, I want to start it out by a take that came from his co-worker over at Speak for Yourself, Jason Whitlock. Jason was coming for the crown. He said, Game 7 was the most pressurized sporting event perhaps in American history. Or, excuse me, Game 7 was the most pressurized event perhaps in human history.
Mm.
So thoughts and prayers to the Civil War.
Yep.
Maybe if
D-Day.
Maybe if Theo had been working for the South, we'd all be speaking Cajun now.
Maybe if Theo had gotten on one of those boats.
Yeah, you never know. So that was Whitlock coming for the crown.
Yeah.
But then Skip Bayless is the king, and the king stay the king. And this is what he had to say about Game 7, okay? I believe there's a segment of Cubs fans, maybe a pretty large one, that didn't actually want to win the World Series because it forever destroys their sympathy card that they've been able to play their whole lives. The culture of losing that they have embraced and cherished for many, many years over generations, for 108 years. Their premise was, they are united in misery. Oh, woe is me. Then they can cry in their beer every offseason. And that pessimism had started to infiltrate the psyche of the team for years.
Oh, he's so one of those guys. He's a curse guy.
He's a curse guy. Yeah. And he's also just calling you out and saying that the World Series title was wasted on
didn't
you.
Even, because was you don't for even, the Indians
because you don't
time.
Even want it.
Yeah, I didn't want it. Can we send it back?
But then I checked the tape, and I realized that about a month ago you said on Tell the Truth Monday,
yeah,
there's a part of you that didn't want to win.
No, I didn't say that.
So that,
hold
so
on.
That's why
not, that, you're yeah, misquoting me.
No, we can check the tape.
Yeah, we will. I said I wouldn't know what to do when they won.
That's not what you said. And
the
it was
dogs,
Tell the Truth Monday.
The dogs chasing cars analogy that you had. Once you catch up to it, you don't know what to do.
That's right.
But guess what? Now that we're on the other side, it's pretty fucking cool. It's pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
So I'm not sitting here being like, damn, I wish the Cubs lost. So I could still be
little
miserable.
Part of you wish that you were still upset.
No. That is the king staying the
but
king.
But Skip Bayless stays the king with that take.
Yeah. I have a bad visual for us.
Ooh.
Did you see during Game 7, LeBron got caught on TV sipping a little beer, a little alcohol. Little adult beverage.
Was that beer or was it champagne?
It was beer.
Okay, it looked like
bad
a small bottle of champagne.
Visual.
Okay.
We know LeBron is all about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a game. You know, if he loses in the NBA Finals, he'll just go home and watch Bad Santa 2 with his kids because that's what real life is about,
mm-hmm.
not these stupid, silly games. Well, you know what real life is also about? People have addiction problems, and he's drinking a beer in front of everyone. 40 million people watching that game.
Night before game.
Mm.
So Celtics are in town.
Oh.
And so we're looking at this from tomorrow morning. You should have bet on the Celtics last night because LeBron James was hungover.
Little dinged up.
Yep.
Little dinged up.
Little Katzenkoffen is
it
what they call it over in Germany. You know what that means?
No.
Cats in your head. That's a little fun fact. That's what they call a hangover.
That's nice. Yeah. I like that. It was really weird, though. LeBron, like, he acted like it was the worst thing ever.
Mm, bad for the brand?
Was, you know, it was a Hey JJ move.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, shit, can't let anyone see me with a beer.
And then was that his wife next to him?
Yeah.
And there was a shot that I saw that made it almost look like his wife was smoking a joint.
Ooh.
But I don't think that she was. I think it was just like it was a bad visual.
She just has her hands permanently held like a joint.
That she's inhaling.
Yeah, she holds LeBron's roach clip all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she holds his balls. So it's like a little pinch.
A small roach clip.
Yeah, a little small pinch.
Yeah. Bad visuals all around.
Yep.
Let's do a respect the biz. You want to go first?
Yes, I do. This one comes from Marley Rivera from ESPN. She's a baseball reporter there. A baseball writer there, excuse me, and a podcaster. She was at the game last night.
They give everyone a fucking podcast these days.
Yeah. So she says, know plenty of Indians fans who sat in the press box and did their job reporting a great game. How is it acceptable to write as a Cubs fan? Don't care if paying fans outside the press box root for the Cubs. Tired of those inside the press box doing it. Or Indians, for that matter. Still don't understand how Cubs fans' columns are sports writing. That's an offense to me and all hardworking baseball writers out there.
Mm.
So she was upset because there was some cheering going on in the press box.
Yeah, sounds like a little light clapping, maybe.
Light clapping
in
Cleveland.
Yeah, maybe some texting family members.
So pretty disrespectful to the journalism industry for you guys to be showing emotion during Game 7.
Yep, robots.
Absolutely.
As journalists, we got into this thing not for the love of the game. We got into it for the stories.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And guess what? It's not about us.
No, it's not about us. It's about the guys on the
field. It's about telling the story, having the story pass through you.
Right.
And you don't clap. The Council of Nicaea wasn't clapping when they were writing the Bible. They were letting God just speak through them, right?
Right.
That's my understanding.
If you're a journalist and you make the story about yourself, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. Like Kevin Durant, he's a baby back bitch. He should put some respect on my name, but I'm not going to say anything about it.
That's right. He's calling himself a baby back bitch through his actions. Right. You're just passing that story along.
Yes, exactly.
So, and she also doesn't like the fact that sports fans, that Cubs fans, are allowed to write columns. That's not sports writing, and it's an offense to her.
I wonder what she thought about my columns.
She probably read
Posted
all of
that
your
guy
columns.
Who was blowing vape on live TV.
Yeah,
in Wrigleyville.
She probably reads a lot.
I actually have a similar respect to Biz. Michael Wilbon. Did you see that he went on SportsCenter in his Cubs jersey? Big time no-no. But here's a twist.
Is he going to get fired or suspended for that?
Here's a twist.
Okay.
Wilbon said that he actually didn't want to go on SportsCenter in his Cubs jersey, but ESPN made him.
Huh.
Wow.
Sounds like a major turn for ESPN's journalistic standards.
Wow.
Which up to this point have been pristine.
It goes deeper than surface level here, guys. It goes, we're going to have to dig real deep, okay? Because this is institutional chaos at ESPN.
Yeah.
Guys going on with jerseys.
You hear about institutional racism. This is institutional fanaticism. This is institutional bias is what it is.
Yep.
So chill out. Hot seat, East Coast bias. Cool throne, Midwestern bias.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Where's Cleveland? Cleveland's the Midwest, but it's Eastern time zone.
That's something so you that's can get a into a fight one. Over. I learned that recently. Yeah. If you call Cleveland Midwest, then people from Cleveland get
really
Rust
mad
Belt.
At you. I mean, Rust Belt is the correct term.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. Rust Belt is its own
also
thing.
Fun fact. I made a reference to Sheetz in Philadelphia instead of Wawa.
Listen, man. If I know one thing about Philly fans, you don't want to make fun of their gas station subs.
Yeah, you guys have great food next to the E85 ethanol.
Yeah, it's healthy. Don't worry. I have a done or finished before we get to Jimbo's. Done or finished. Curses. Yeah.
Put
your mind in a little pretzel there.
I'm gonna say neither, because as one curse ends, another one begins.
Yep.
And the Marlins man curse on the city of Cleveland just kicked in last night.
Yeah.
He called his curse. He called a shot.
He said,
guess what?
If the Indians lose, they are cursed.
They're cursed because they were rude to me 3 years ago. One time, and they don't have seats that you can see on television behind home plate. So I'm going to curse your city, and so now that's the reason that they
all right,
are
so
going to continue.
Curses, though, you have to admit, they're on the ice. They're on the ropes, right?
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Curse. So Marlins man has his Cleveland curse.
We should make some halftime adjustments.
Let's curse something. Okay. We got to curse something. Let's curse the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
If the Sacramento Kings don't win a NBA championship in the next decade, that was a part of my take curse.
If the Brooklyn Nets don't win more than 50 games this year,
part of my take curse.
You know what? I'm more of a whammy guy. I'm going to put the whammy on them.
Oh, whammy.
Whammy. I'm putting the whammy on you.
All right. So the Nets, let's throw them both in there. Nets and the Kings. Neither of those teams, by the power in part of my take and all that are curses and witchcraft, neither the Nets nor the Kings are going to win 50 games this year.
Also, I would have liked to see a little bit more respect thrown my way for my rally trial last night. I feel like that really turned it around.
There was actually a great – I have to find this clip, and I'll tweet it out from Pardon My Take. When you were fiddling with the champagne bottle, trying to open it with, three outs left, and I was just staring at you.
You're so mad.
I was so mad.
I was rocking the World Series champion shirts opening the champagne.
I was so mad.
It was great.
Okay.
That was good. That was good, though. I like that Dunner finish. Yeah. Curses are on the ropes. I'll give you that.
So we'll
bring them back.
We're bringing them back. Okay, let's do Jimbo's. They're back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick hiatus from Roast, but Roast want to come back strong next week. So here's what you do. You subscribe to Part of My Take on iTunes. You leave a 5-star review. If you like us, we're not holding – hey, This isn't a threat. We're not threats, guys. We're pointed out, guys. So
help us help you guys.
Scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. So rate us 5 stars, leave us a roast. We're going to get back to roast next week. Sorry. And let's do some Jimbos. They're back. Ready, Hank?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so first Jimbo. I hadn't bought a Pats jersey since the late 90s.
Hank, wow, you've gotten a lot better at reading.
You're really good at reading, man. Jesus, dude. Did you go to school between Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
Some summer courses?
I did a lot of practice reading on the side.
Okay, all right.
Good job.
All right.
It shows.
All right, so Milmore, if you could tell, because he didn't screw up the first sentence, is in the studio with us tonight. Milmore, Hank is
He's partying in Baton Rouge.
He's wetting a different kind of beak. Down in Latin, in LSU, if you know what I'm talking about.
A couple different kinds of beaks.
You know what I'm talking about.
Just dipping the tip.
Yeah, he's dipping that tip. that's like the grossest thing we say. Just going to dip the tip real quick.
All right, sorry, Milmore. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. So I hadn't bought a Pats jersey since the late 90s. So I finally bought the jersey of my favorite player. I was really excited to wear the jersey for the first time this Sunday. R.I.P. in peace, Jamie Collins.
Oh, man. You know what? You know what the Jimbo here is? You weren't watching the All-22, because I've heard a lot of reports that Jamie Collins was not the Jamie Collins of old.
But you wouldn't know that unless you watched the All-22. If you watched it on TV, just like an ignorant
plebe. He looks like the same guy.
Yeah, all these proles out there trying to watch the Fox feed, they don't get the real story. You need to watch the All-22. When he was on the Patriots, did he have senior on the back of his jersey?
No.
So that's a big show-off move right there. If you don't have senior on your jersey, you don't put it on when you go to a different town.
Yeah. Oh, he did that.
Yeah. So now he's look at me. I'm the guy on the Browns that had sex.
Okay. Yeah. Spin zone. You go to the city of Cleveland. You're gonna want to let people know that you're a sex haver.
If you're a sex haver in Cleveland, you stand out.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell anybody.
You're kings. Kings stay kings.
Yeah.
I think too. Terrell Pryor has senior on his.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Wow. See, like inferior. Yeah. You know.
Oh, you know what that might be? Oh, stay woke. That might be one of those things like we talk about with the swingers in the suburbs. They open their garage a little bit.
Yeah.
You put senior on the back of your jersey. That might be telling Cleveland. All your teammates, like, hey, door's always open.
Hey, Cleveland, instead of going to the strip mall in Buffalo Wild Wings and farting all day, maybe we'll do sex instead. Okay, next
That's a good Jimbo.
Yeah.
This chick gave me her phone and told me to watch a video. Turns out it was one of those videos where the exorcist jumps out of the end and I dropped and cracked her brand new iPhone 7.
That's on her.
Yeah, it's also a man card situation. Really, you're dropping a phone because of a video you watch?
That's also a what year is it situation. New segment, what year is it? Yeah. Because those videos, what was like 2006 that those videos were hot? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Wife was 2 weeks out from due date. I went to a wedding and got drunk. The wife's water broke at the wedding and she had to drive us to the hospital.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big Jimbo. Mm. I don't have any direct experience. I don't have any kids that I know of. But I get the feeling from people that I know that have had children that women are super high maintenance around their due date, and they don't like it.
All about themselves.
They don't like it if they have to drive themselves to the hospital.
Yeah.
They need to be like waited on hand and foot.
And you know, feet are swollen.
By the way, what about feminism? Okay, yeah. What about being equal rights? Yeah. If you really
open your own damn door.
If you really want equality, then you would drive your own self to the hospital when you're pregnant and having birth and your water's spilling all over your ankles.
You'd drive a big rig. Yeah. Show everyone that you can still make a living around America.
Little hypocrisy there in our nation's pregnant women.
By the way, before we get to the next one, we full-blown we don't vape for fun. We're vaping. We vape now.
We're vaping.
So
yeah,
this
vaping
is us
currently.
Vaping. Like we've been doing this all show without like even making jokes about it. So now we're just gonna vape so you can hear it. All right, and that was part of my take vapes. I'm sure
part of my vape.
I'm sure Pete, who runs this entire studio, is gonna love that we're just throwing mad sick clouds at his microphones. Next one.
All right. Dressed as PFT and Big Cat for Halloween. Started vaping and became Chaw Dogs for the bit. Still vaping and chawing a week later.
Oh, my God.
Fully
perfect.
Addicted to both.
We didn't plan that. That was a great move by Hank.
And you know what? I've heard that from a few different people, that they've picked up vape because of us.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. You know, the kids listen out there. Don't pick it up.
Hey, as Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
All right. Drove 2 hours for a surprise visit to my girlfriend's school. Turns out she had a tournament today 15 minutes from my house, and now she's mad I'm not there.
Oh. Spin zone. I thought that first sentence was going, she turns out she was like fucking some other dude. So that at least didn't happen.
I didn't hear it. I wasn't.
You weren't paying attention. No. You were worried about your vape. Mm-hmm. No, we don't need to do it again. Move on. You get punished when you don't listen.
There's a guy in my office who always wears a fanny pack. Being the new guy, I tried to be funny, and a few weeks ago, I asked, hey, Sage, what do you put in there?
Oh, no.
Pens, sticky notes,
oh,
or something?
Oh, no, he's diabetic.
Just so you're always prepared in a meeting? He replies, yeah, pretty much, and walks away. This Tuesday, he gets a call from the hospital to go get a heart transplant.
Oh.
The entire office is going nuts, clapping for him as he walks out. I tell a coworker, wow, I had no idea he was on the donor list. She says, yeah, it's a heart monitor in the fanny pack, you asshole.
Oh, wow. Diabetes was going to be... Diabetes.
Yeah. Shout out to doctors for not inventing a cooler way to monitor your heart. Like, you can't you have like a, isn't there like an arm sleeve you can put on, like,
well,
a compression sleeve that monitors it, like something sweet that looks badass?
I think we've always said this on the show that people with some kind of disability should have to wear like a scarlet letter so that we know not to make fun of them.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's,
is there not an
what
app
could
for
go
that
wrong?
Yet? I think
yeah.
There should be an app.
Yeah, there should be an app for it.
Yeah, they should all have to wear some, like something on their chest.
Like a star.
Something on their chest,
yeah.
Saying like, hey,
hey,
just everyone knows,
don't,
this is me.
Don't make fun of me.
Yeah.
Don't post a blog about me,
yeah,
because
if you,
I have this sickness.
If you don't like people that have sicknesses like me, then stay away.
Yeah, exactly.
I trusted Hank that the Barstool app had podcasts without using data. Now I have no data till November 27th.
Okay.
Thanks, Hank.
That was a big Jimbo and Hank's part, really.
You could have just stopped it with, I trusted Hank.
You know what I love about Hank is he is so gung-ho about selling things that we tell him to sell that he just starts making up great reasons to
use
them.
He's a great salesman. Yeah. He's a boiler room. If we had a boiler room, he would be the
number
our
one
top
of the phones,
seller.
Yeah,
yeah. You're going to want to get into this stock.
He gets a new Cadillac.
We haven't released it. It's going to save infants' lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a new stock. We're gonna release it at 1. It's going to be about 15 by the afternoon. You won't even be able to touch it. Also, we love Hank. Everyone knows we love Hank. But it's fun when he's not on because we can just talk shit about him knowing that he won't listen.
That's true. Yeah, well, hey, so Hank, if you're listening on Tell the Truth Monday, you have to say your Tell the Truth is,
yeah.
I heard what you said.
Yeah, okay.
I was setting up a breeding pair of Cape Shell Ducks, and I blanked on their nesting and incubation style.
Is this Dwight Schrute?
And forgot to put in a tunnel to the front of the nest box to mimic the sensation of nesting in a rabbit burrow. Total Jimbo. By the way, people forget that I don't work in an office. I breed waterfowl.
Okay. Well, yeah. That sounds like a pretty big mistake. You gotta put the shell duck casing in the back.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Don't put the shell duck casing before the
horse
cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic case of counting the shell ducks before they hatch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Two in the shell duck casing and one in the hand.
Yeah.
Halfway through an exam, I thought I legit pooped my pants.
Mm.
I was afraid everyone would eventually smell my brown pants.
Mm.
Guessed on the rest of the exam, got a 39%, went to the bathroom, and there was no poop in my pants.
Oh, the Ooh. Phantom.
That's
rough. Little squirts.
Yeah. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, you know.
You can always take a test. You can't redo everybody's memory about the time you shit your pants in class.
Can't put poop back up your butt.
No, can't put the poop paste back in the poop.
Oh, man.
All right, last one. On vacation with my girlfriend, seemed like something was bothering her, so I keep asking even though she said she was fine. Turns out she wanted to break up with me and was waiting until we got home, but then she just did it in the hotel instead. So it made the 3-hour drive home to her place in silence.
Oh. Yeah,
that's
why
inconsiderate on her part.
Well, I don't know. That's still a Jimbo on his side because that's why you never ask anyone how they're doing. Ever.
Yeah.
Don't ever bring up anyone's emotions or feelings ever, and you'll never get broken up with.
Mm-hmm. Or you could have gotten her pregnant and then have to have a baby and make her drive you the 3 hours back to the hospital that she likes.
Yeah.
So Jimbo on your part for using birth control.
Or reverse it and just be like, hey, you're pregnant. What?
That would be an amazing reversal. Like, chicks love to pull the I'm pregnant card.
Yeah.
At least I see that in movies, so I assume it happens all the time
life. All the time.
Yeah, so just telling a chick she's pregnant. Give it a shot next time. See what happens.
See what happens.
That should be, you know how Jimmy Kimmel does the thing where he's like, hey, eat all your kids' candy and then videotape their reactions. Tell your girlfriend or wife that she's pregnant. Videotape her reaction.
Yeah.
Be like, hey.
Yeah, send it to us.
Hey, I saved your
pee. Send it to us.
I used your pee.
Yeah, send it to Pardon My Take. Let's actually do that. Okay. Tell your wife or girlfriend she's pregnant and send it to Pardon My Take. This will be a good prank. Just a prank. There's a camera
it's
right
a prank,
there.
Yeah. Be
just
like, prank. Honey, it's for the
it's
internet.
It's a prank. It's a prank. It's
she'll get
a prank.
It.
It's just a prank. Okay, that is our show. We have a big week set up for us next week. Election week.
Yeah.
We're going to be in Buffalo on Sunday night.
In Canada, we think.
On Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be back in New York on Tuesday. We have Spencer Hawes and Frank Kaminsky with an exit interview coming next week.
Mm-hmm.
Got Larry's picks as always. Check out Larry's picks this week. We were basics. It was pretty awesome.
It was great. Are you going to go to the World Series Parade?
I am going to blog it because that's my job.
Okay. Are you going to be in Chicago this weekend?
I will be.
Okay. So that's official.
Yeah.
Not going to Baton Rouge. No. Going to Chicago.
Correct.
I'm going to be in Chicago. If you're at the rugby game on Friday night,
say good on ya.
Say good on ya to me. USA versus the Maori All Blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Best team in the world that's not actually from a country. People forget that. And then on Saturday night, Soldier Field. Sold out Soldier Field. Shout out to Hank. Not a lacrosse game, but a rugby game. Ireland versus New Zealand. Come blow me a point. And we'll throw it back together. Have a great old talk.
Thank you to Millmore for sitting with us and indulging us, and he's going to edit today's show, so if he screws up at all, tweet at Hank and tell him he fucked up. That'll be fun. and again, follow everything, Pardon My Take. Can I do one last shout-out?
Sure.
Shout-out to the Cubs fan that ate that piece of horse poop at the parade. Way to one-up Cleveland. I loved it. It was great. So shout-out. You're going to do it, right?
You got
to
do
you.
It.
I'm talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not the guy next to you.
We're talking to
guy
you.
Guy on the Metra. Kid on the Metra right now. You've had a few drinks. You're going in with your buddies. You didn't know the Cubs were going to win the World Series this year. That horse poop looks pretty good.
Might not win it again in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Take advantage. And also, be sure to videotape it and send it to us only.
And then tell your girlfriend she's pregnant with the poop in your mouth.
Yeah.
All right. That was a great ending to the show. We're really maturing here at Part of My Take. We will see you next week.
I love you guys. Hey, Chicago, what do you say?